This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. You say inflation, I say stagflation. You say stagflation, I say deflation. Inflation, stagflation, stagflation, deflation. Oh, don't turn the radio off. Economists, politicians, and pundits are applying a wide vocabulary to describe the current condition of the U.S. economy. If you're as confused as I am about the terminology, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Is there a term you especially dislike or one you've invented yourself? Emailers, a special challenge to you, we're to send your favorite from the economic lexicon, TOTN at NPR.org. And joining us to talk about the odd language of the economy is Alan Stone, the Wall Street editor of Newsweek magazine, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Neil.
So, just some terminology. What is the difference between inflation and deflation, stagflation and stagflation?
All right, we'll do them. Inflation means prices are going up. Deflation means prices are going down. Stagflation means the economy is stagnant, but it has inflation. And I'm sorry, I forgot the fourth one. I'm getting confused already.
Yeah, stagnation, I guess, means pretty much the same thing.
Stagnant, it's sort of like water and it smells.
What word are you hearing most often to describe whatever it is we're in now?
Actually, the word I'm hearing most often is a word we can't say on radio.
Yes, all right, thank you.
The word I would use, subject to spelling, is yech. It's sort of the yech economy. You look at it, you say sort of yech.
Here's an email we got from Teresa Bua in Elkhart, Indiana, who says, my vote is for hoc sugit, Latin for it sucks.
Well, I didn't think we could say that on radio, but that sounds about right.
Well, it's in Latin, as long as it's classic.
Well, in that case, it's then scholarly.
Well, let's listen to a clip of tape from Meet the Press this past Sunday.
I'd say the economy is in a recovery, but it's not a robust recovery. It's a sort of a weak, soggy is a word I sometimes use, recovery.
Alan, there's a term of precision. What exactly is a soggy economy?
Well, I don't think it's exactly anything. I think possibly the definition is all wet. I think it means you sort of step in it and it feels moist. It's just there. It doesn't respond. It's like when you have a car and the power steering doesn't work and you steer it and sort of nothing happens. I think that's what he's talking about, but I find it very difficult to read the minds of people in Washington.
And he, of course, was the Treasury of the Secretary, John Snow, which is why his terminology is rather more important than perhaps yours or mine.
Well, possibly so, except that if you sit and try to get exegetical explanations of what he means, you'll go out of your mind, because I suspect he just reached into his navel and pulled out that term, and I don't think there's a specific meaning in economics for soggy.
Let's go to Mac, who joins us on the line from St. Francisville's in Louisiana.
Hi, how you doing today?
Okay, do you have a term for our present economic condition?
Yeah, it's a republic economy.
That's pretty good. Sign him up.
Maybe I want to just send him to James Carville, your fellow Cajun down there.
Well, I just came up with the thought off the cuff of my brain here, and I don't know. It just seems like whenever the Democrats are in office and the economy is good, then it's the Republicans' duty to try to find some fault with it. And then when the Republicans are in there and the economy goes bad, then it's the Democrats' fault. So, I don't know. I'm not really politically terribly motivated one way or another, but it seemed like we ought to be able to find a happy medium somewhere down the center of the road and quit calling each other names and just find some way to fix it.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mac, very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We may see him as a political consultant before too long. Cindy in Portland, Oregon emailed us with the suggestion, quaggy. And another one from Mr. Sawyer, who emailed us, untidy. That's not a bad one.
Well, I mean, this is the beauty of it. Since none of these, there are no economic terms, we can make them up all day and all night. It's sort of like writing a column, which is what I do for a living.
Well, all right. Are there Wall Street terms, though, that you can't abide?
Actually, there are two Wall Street terms I cannot abide, because I was an English major. I never studied economics. And the terms I hate are profit-taking and correction.
Both words for the market went down.
Right. Correction means stock prices went down. So if stock prices going down is a correction, I guess that means that when prices go selling, because I guess selling at a profit is different than regular selling.
Well, it almost makes it sound like farming there. You're going in there to reap some profits.
Reap some profits, and the cash-laden investor standing on the sidelines. I mean, you know what the word euphemism means. It means you take something disgusting and you give it a happy term. So, I mean, Wall Street is full of euphemisms, words like crash, disaster, losses. These shrinking is negative income growth. I mean, none of this means anything. It all is designed to hide the ugly truth. But again, that's what Wall Street does, because if everybody thought the truth were ugly, no one would buy. Wall Street wouldn't have a living, and what would I do?
Beth Perry in Green Bay, Wisconsin, writes us, accounting and finance, she says, are heavy with acronyms. So how about LIRIG, L-R-I-G, which stands for like running in gelatin? You know, those kind of nightmares where you're running using much energy, but you can't move ahead.
That sounds good. It's at least as good as EBITDA.
What's that?
You know, EBITDA is a term. It's called earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. In other words, it's the amount of money a company takes in less what it spends directly, and that tells you how much money it may have available to pay its debts. It's called EBITDA. And then there are variants of that, but I will not bore you with them.
And my lack of understanding may explain why I'm not a tycoon. But
Well, you know what? You're probably just as well off, because the minute you start to understand all of this, you have to go to rehab.
I see. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona instead. Peter joins us on the line.
Hi, Neil. I'm calling from the desert between Picacho Peak and Tucson, Arizona. And my feeling is that I'm waiting to see how things are going to turn out when things feel safe to invest. So my term is anticipation.
Anticipation. That's not too bad, Alan.
There's something to be said for this. I may yet steal half of these things and put them in a column. How do you spell that?
I think any way you want. I mean, that's the way we in radio approach it. I mean, because
it's sort of like the way you spell yeah. You know, with as many C's and H's as someone feels are appropriate.
I always took my spelling from Marvel Comics for that particular one. So, Peter, thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here's a new term from Eric Williams in Edwardsville, Illinois. Due to my dwindling 401k, I've become retirementally handicapped, as in my retirement age keeps going up with each soggy quarterly report.
Right. Well, I guess maybe he's fiscally challenged.
Now, is this another term that became popular, I guess, during the recent war was a tipping point. Is this an economic term, too?
It probably is. That's the point at which you go right from there to total collapse and you just fall over. It's like having one drink too many. The first six drinks are fine. The seventh drink, you're on the floor. That's the tipping point.
And the other, you know, obviously we're all in this, whatever it is, because the bubble has burst, right?
Right. And this is a term that actually has meaning, I'm sorry to say. If you think of a bubble, you know, it's very big and it's very thin, you know, and when you pop it, there's nothing left. And that's what the term bubble is.
Well, our time bubble has just evaporated, Alan Sloan, but thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. I'm sorry we're chronologically challenged.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor of Newsweek magazine. Here are some of the headlines NPR News is following today. Chinese officials reported today 80 new cases of SARS, nearly half of them outside of Beijing. World Health Organization officials are still working to determine how many people exactly in China have the disease. That story, plus continued coverage of the terrorist bombings in Saudi Arabia, coming up later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. You're listening right now to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.